Luke chapter 11, 5 through 13. This morning's message is the last one for 2010, last Sunday morning message for 2010. It also happens to be the last message in this series of messages about the Holy Spirit. Message number 20. Welcome, Holy Spirit. A series dedicated to helping you understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he desires to do in our lives. Now, along the way, my hope was is that you have gained knowledge. You have gained a solid doctrinal foundation about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. But this series was more than about information. It was about transformation. The purpose of the series was to help you understand how critically important the Spirit is. If you have a Bible, hold it up in the air. Okay. First reference to the Holy Spirit. Where is it found? Genesis chapter 1. Nope, not verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, hovered over the water. When's the last reference to the Holy Spirit? Revelation, what chapter? 22, last chapter of the book. And in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, the Spirit is there saying, come. Along with the church, the bride saying, come, come. There's a call to repentance. From Genesis to Revelation, the Spirit is present. And from A to Z in our lives, the Spirit is present. And that's what I've been trying to do in this series, is to help you understand in such a way that I believe one of my mandates from the Lord, other than certainly presenting sound doctrine, one of the mandates from the Lord was to create an atmosphere. Develop an attitude where you understand, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. If I am ever going to be and do what I am called to be and do, I have to have the Holy Spirit. I just can't do it on my own. And the good news is we don't have to do it on our own. And so I've sought by God's grace to create a hunger within you that says, Lord, welcome, 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 Holy Spirit. Now, along the way, we have journeyed to a number of different places. We started in the upper room listening to Jesus teach his disciples about another comforter. Another one just like me, Jesus said. We stepped into the Old Testament and saw the Spirit come on David and Samson and Samuel and Moses and all the rest. And we saw how the Holy Spirit was involved with life and power and miracles and deliverance, wisdom. We stepped back into the New Testament. We made our way to the courtroom. And we listened as the Holy Spirit, like the prosecuting attorney, convicted the world of its guilt with regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. We left the courtroom and we went over to the cemetery and we saw how God takes people who are spiritually dead and makes them spiritually alive with the breath of God, the Spirit of the Lord. We stepped over to the garden and we watched how the Holy Spirit wants to produce fruit in our lives, a harvest of fruit. But we stepped back to the cemetery to realize that it's not us in our own strength, but it's by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body. That it's by the Spirit we walk in the Spirit and then we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, by the Spirit. We stepped over to the construction zone, construction site, and we watched how the Holy Spirit gives power tools to the church, gifts of the Spirit to build up the church and expand the kingdom. We stepped into the concert hall and we watched how the Holy Spirit takes all the different members of the orchestra, and each one plays a part, but all together under the conducting of the Holy Spirit presents a symphony to God. We stepped onto the battlefield together and we saw how the Holy Spirit calls us to this battle and he equips us with spiritual weapons. And we talked about how important it is that we stay in communication with headquarters. We stepped into the marketplace and we saw how the Holy Spirit inspires the when and where of evangelism, the what of evangelism, and confirms the evangelism with signs and wonders following. We visited a lot of different places together with the Holy Spirit to understand how critically important he is to spiritual life. And my prayer has been that you would know a spiritual fullness, a Holy Spirit fullness in the biblical sense of the word. So that kind of gives me a Reader's Digest summary of where we've been, but where do we need to go? Well, one of the things that I've done over the last 2 weeks is I put an insert in your bulletin and I asked you to share with me questions that I haven't covered about the Holy Spirit. And somebody emailed me a question, and Benjamin's going to bring that question up in just a moment. But he emailed me this question about the Holy Spirit. Take a look. How does it happen? I get why it needs to happen, and I think I'm beginning to understand what or who the Holy Spirit is. But how do I get filled with him? I've asked, and yet I do not receive. What am I doing wrong? Perhaps there is something hindering me. He wrote that to me last Sunday. And Sunday night, I was reading. I went, oh. Because I wasn't sure where God wanted to go today. I didn't want to just get up here and go, let me tell you everything I've already told you in 30 minutes. I wanted something fresh. Once I read that question, I said, I think I know where you want me to go. The next morning, Monday morning, I went out to walk and pray. And God graciously began to pour this whole message into my heart. Wednesday night, I got together with a bunch of guys, and we kind of, I wouldn't say beat around it, but we kind of fleshed it out. And so this is a collaborative effort, and we'll do it differently. I'm going to take a seat at the stool and look at some stuff with you. Ah, feels comfortable. I won't do this every week, so relax, but today I want to. So what is it? Let's say you're here and you're saying to me, Pastor, you know I really want the Holy Spirit in my life. What do I do? Practically, tell me. I've asked, is something missing? So let's take a look. And what I've discovered, and this is, I've been a Christian now for 40 years and a pastor for 27, and it's been my experience that there are three main hindrances that Ben's going to bring up. There are human hindrances. Things that we can do that delay. There are demonic hindrances, things that the devil does to want to delay. And sometimes there are divine delays. And it's important to know which one is which in your life so that you're addressing the right thing. So let's start first with some of the human hindrances. Some people that I find struggle with receiving the Spirit has to do with a lack of knowledge. And by that I mean some people who are praying to be filled don't understand that the Spirit of God has already taken up residence in them at salvation. So they think the Holy Spirit is somehow out there and they need to somehow get him in here. Last week I tried to explain the difference between the Easter gift of the Spirit and the Pentecost gift of the Spirit. The Easter gift is about salvation and holy living. It's the fulfillment of Ezekiel 36. The Pentecost gift is about power for witness and service. And although they are interconnected, they're not the same thing. The Pentecost gift is a Joel 2 fulfillment, which is different than the salvation, which is Ezekiel. And so when you're praying, some people come because they just don't get the fact that there's a difference between the two. When you became a Christian, when you bowed your knee to Christ, the Spirit of God took up residence within you, and that became a permanent possession, a guarantee, a deposit, guaranteeing more to come. But the Pentecost gift of the Spirit, which is what the gentleman was praying about, is a gift that comes, put it this way, when you're saved, you have the Spirit. At the Pentecost gift, the Spirit has you. At the Easter gift, the Spirit is in you. At the Pentecost gift, you're in the Spirit. At salvation, the Spirit has taken up residence in you, but in the Pentecost gift, you're saturated with the Spirit. The saturation is renewable. We looked at that a couple weeks ago, that you can have continual refillings and new anointings for whatever God calls you to do. And thank God that we keep getting new anointings to do whatever He calls us to do. But that's different than the indwelling that is part of being a Christian. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So when you and I pray, some people just don't understand that, and I've tried to help you see that, is that you have the Spirit in you, but you want the Spirit to come on you in power for boldness, for witness, and service. Once people start to get that, oh, okay. And that helps them to understand what they're asking for. They're asking for the empowering of the Spirit to be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ in service. But what other hindrance is? Some people go the other extreme. They have a paralysis of analysis. They're trying to understand everything there is about the Spirit. They're trying to figure out, now what happens when the Spirit comes on me? Okay, now, will he give me prophetic speech? Will I speak in tongues? What will it mean when I speak in tongues? Will my mouth move? Should I just wait? And they're constantly trying to understand everything. And back in the 70s, and this is funny, when we met Wednesday night, a bunch of us guys, I said, well, back in my day, and I realized, I can't believe I said that. Back in my day, I felt so old. But back in the 70s, we wanted to help people. And so we'd come alongside and we'd go, now, hold on, brother. Hold on, brother. Someone else would come on and go, let go, brother. So do I hold on or do I let go? And then they had these tape series that you could buy and say, okay, now say Honda five times fast. Honda, Honda, Honda. Oh, you got it. And it was ridiculous, all the stuff we had to do to help the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you're there and you're overwhelmed because there's so much. I remember poor Bob Hoteling when he was being prayed for one time. Sweet Jean Murray, and some of you all know Jean Murray. Remember her. God bless her. They say that some people, when they're filled with the Spirit, ought to be locked up for 6 months. And for some, 6 months isn't enough. Jean was one of those that she just... So she's there, and she's doing everything she learned to do for Bob. And Bob's like, whoa. Now, you all love and know Bob, but you know Bob doesn't do it that way. So Bob just went and shut down until he went home. He just began playing on his guitar. And the Spirit of God came on him. And a heavenly language came out of his mouth. He thought he was having a stroke. He calls me up. Ray, something happened to me. What? And he described to me what happened. I said, Bud, you just got filled with that Pentecost gift of the Spirit. I did? Sometimes we try so hard. I remember for me, they were praying for me. It was in November, a bunch of people praying, and they're doing all this stuff. Oh, and they're trying to raise the excitement level. Oh, God! As if God's deaf, so you have to raise the voice. And they were doing all these things to help me. And I'm like, well, okay, what am I supposed to do? And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm an analytical kind of guy, and I'm trying to figure this thing out. And I'm overwhelmed because I'm trying to figure out what is going on. What am I supposed to do? How is it supposed to happen? And then we get to the time when it actually happened was on a retreat. And they prayed for me for 3 hours. And they were doing all this stuff again. And I'm still sitting there, oh, God, I want this, but I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm just trying so hard to get this figured out. And finally, after 3 hours, I was so pooped. I couldn't try anymore. And everybody left except for this one old 65-year-old pastor who just simply said, Father, just fill me with the Spirit. Whoosh! Now, my story is not as extreme as Pastor Bob's, however. Pastor Bob shared that when he was filled with the Spirit, the analytical thing kicking on doesn't work, he actually had to get knocked out. It wasn't on purpose, but someone caught him with an elbow and knocked him out. And he landed on the ground when he woke up, his hands were in the air, and he was praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Now, yeah, he said to me, he goes, don't anyone tell you that it doesn't hurt to get filled with the Spirit. It does hurt, but no. What I'm trying to tell you is that some people's temperaments and personalities are such, they try to analyze everything. What I've discovered about the Spirit is it's not that it is irrational, it is suprarational. Irrational means it goes contrary against rational thought. The Spirit doesn't do that. But it's supra-rational. It's beyond rational thought. It's in the spirit realm. It's sort of like you have visible light, and then you have infrared and ultraviolet. It's beyond the visible light. So what I encourage people to do is just, Lord, thank you. All right? Sometimes there's a hindrance. Because we're not asking for the right motive, with the right motive. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss or ask with the wrong motive. Now, how can you ask for the wrong motive? Last night, my family and I did a family tradition that we do every year. We watched It's a Wonderful Life. Some of you are familiar with Clarence, the angel that comes along. He is Clarence, I don't know what his, Oddbody, AS2. What's AS2? Angel, second class. I don't have my wings. And there are some Christians that will look at themselves as, oh, I'm Christian, second class, because I don't have the tongues. And so they come asking God to fill them for the purpose of getting tongues so they feel good about themselves. Why would you want the Holy Spirit to give you it for that reason? Because then when you get it, what happens? You become prideful. I got it. I can do it too now. This isn't about you. This isn't about me. It's about God. And so sometimes our motives are for the wrong reason. We, oh God, I want to do it because I want to be the best thing in this world. I want to just do all this good stuff for you. And God hears our heart, but it's not so much that we do all the good stuff for him. It's that he does all the good stuff in us, through us. So sometimes our motives get in the way. We want it for the wrong reason. Sometimes it's because of a sinful lifestyle. Now, don't get me wrong. God can use anybody at any time. Just talk to Balaam's donkey. And Balaam. Balaam was a pagan prophet that God used through the Spirit to give a true prophecy to Israel. Samson isn't what we would call a good altar boy or choir boy, and God used Samson. But there are times where King Saul, for example, I looked at it last week, King Saul lost the anointing of the Spirit because of his choice of rebellion. If you are knowingly, willingly, persistently, and unrepentantly walking in sin, that can hinder. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to receive, but he is a Holy Spirit for a reason. Okay? Sometimes what messes us up is fear. I've heard people afraid, well, if the Spirit fills me, then I'm going to have the anointing, and what if I mess up? Or I'm not sure I want to do it because, you know, that anointing can kill me if I don't have the character. So they're afraid. Some are afraid, what happens if I get hit with the Spirit? I'm just going to like flop like a fish on the floor or something. I'm going to jump over pews. I'm going to be, excuse me? Paul says in the Word, the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. This is not like demonic, where the demonic inhabits you and then you're out of control. This is the Spirit of God we're talking about. He doesn't grab you and go, through you. That's not what he does. Some people are so afraid, what if, what will people think? You know what? When you get to the point you don't care what people think and you care more about what God thinks, then you're going to be in a pretty good place. Well, what if it happens and my mascara runs? You're laughing, but there are some ladies where that happens. They're at the altar, and they feel God coming. Like, oh, no, it's smearing. And they shut right down. We're going to love you whether you have these mascara tear cheeks or not. It isn't about you, and it isn't about us or me. But people get scared. I'm scared. What will happen? What will it be like? Will he just, like, take over my tongue and my vocal cord, and I'll be one of them little marionettes or puppets? What's going to happen to me? The Holy Spirit is gracious. The Holy Spirit will do such a wonderful work through you. Now, will he bring boldness into your life? Absolutely. But it's not going to be a boldness where you're sort of standing outside and he's taking over you like some kind of puppet. Maybe it isn't fear. Maybe it's unbelief. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I've been prayed for, and I prayed and nothing's happened. I guess it just isn't going to happen. So you come to the altar, well, Lord, I really don't think it's going to happen. I'm hoping maybe it'll happen, but I really doubt it. But I'm hoping, just maybe. Folks, come with an expectancy. Come with a hunger and an anticipation in faith. The Bible says in the book of James, in another context, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without finding fault, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Sometimes it's just we just don't believe God wants to do it for us. I tell you, based on the Word of God and based on our text that we read this morning, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's available to everybody. Everybody. Sometimes, though, we feel like we're just not worthy. We just don't deserve it. You know what? God wants to give it to you as a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit. Gift. It's not based upon your merit. It's based upon God's grace. It's a gift. And sometimes, and this is the last reason we'll throw up here under human interest, is sometimes we don't ask. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? But Pastor, I asked. Oh, did you? Well, yeah, I did. I asked. I waited 5 minutes at the altar and I asked. And nothing happened. Okay. But what do you do with the text that I read in Luke where it says, ask, seek, and knock? I've used this illustration before, but how many of you have ever gone over to a friend's house, you know they're expecting you, they wanted you to come, you go to the door and you go, well, I guess they're not there, and walk away. Hey, if you're serving dinner, I'm there. You open that door. By the way, that word ask there is another one of those present tenses. It means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. We want it so quick. We want it immediately. We want it on our timetable. I remember back in the 70s, and I'm not trying to replicate, but it certainly is experience for me. We would wait. We would just wait on the Lord. If we knew He had something for us, we'd stay there. And if that meant hours, we'd stay hours. If it meant inconvenience, it meant inconvenience. We stayed. Because we believed that God wanted to do something. Sometimes it's just we need to wait and press in and ask and keep on asking. Now, these are human hindrances. You might say, well, Pastor, as I'm going through these, I could see, all right, yeah, that might be one. And that might be one, all right, I want to deal with that. All right, Lord, I want to repent and I want to begin seeking, all right. But what if I do all that and it still doesn't come? Then what happens? Well, you may have run into a different type of hindrance. Maybe a demonic hindrance. Now, what's this all about? I'm not going to repeat the message, but a few weeks ago, I preached about how Daniel prayed for 3 weeks to an answer for an answer to a vision. And it took to the 24th day for it to come. And on the 24th day, the angel came and said to him, I was sent when you first began to pray. But I ended up running into battle, spiritual battle with the Prince of Persia. He wasn't talking about a literal person. He was talking about a spirit. Sometimes there's heavenly warfare going on. Do you actually think the devil wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and become a bold witness for Jesus Christ? Work with me on this one. He knows that if you get lit up by the Holy Spirit and become saturated with the Spirit and you begin in power walking out there, you're going to do damage to His kingdom. So He's going to do everything He can to discourage you. And if all He has to do is hinder you a little bit to the point where you throw in the towel, He's won. So how do you handle that kind of hindrance? James tells me, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare. You just keep praying and seeking through the power of the Spirit until that hindrance breaks. Remember the example I gave you where Paul had been kicked out of Thessalonica? On his second missionary journey, he had been kicked out and tried to get back, and he said, I tried again and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, Paul didn't stop praying. He kept praying. And by the third missionary journey, he was back in Thessalonica. Because the devil can hinder, but he can't ultimately thwart a saint of God that will pray through. So some of you, it ain't about you at all that's hindering it. It's just there's a very real adversary that can sense, he's been around long enough to know, he can sense when there's a powerful anointing about ready to be released on somebody. You ever read the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis? Wonderful little book that C.S. Lewis wrote, and he talked about what could happen, you know, where the demons try to stop people from pressing in. Because if they can turn them into a Christian that just sort of goes through the motions, then they win. But in this particular case, the demon did not succeed in Screwtape Letters, and the guy got lit up with the gospel. And he became a bold witness and began sharing the gospel with all these people, and they kept getting saved, and the demon got in trouble with Satan. It's a great, great allegory story. So sometimes it isn't about you, a hindering. Sometimes it's the enemy. And finally, Ben will bring this up, sometimes it's not you, it's not the enemy, sometimes it's God. Why on earth would God delay? Well, first of all, he's sovereign, but sometimes what I found is he wants to intensify our hunger. How much do you really want God? Remember the psalmist said, as the deer pants for the water? Some of us have a take it or leave it attitude when it comes to spiritual things. Hey, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I'm going to heaven, but let's not get fanatical. Let's not get radical. Why not? Why not get radical for Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit? Aren't we called to be different? Peculiar? I beat you to it, buddy. It was coming, but I beat you to it. Isn't that what we're called to be and to do? But sometimes what happens is we're content with just a little when God wants to make us hungry for more. And so sometimes he'll delay it to the point where we become so hungry, we become desperate. And that's what he's waiting for. Are you desperate enough that you will do biblically whatever it takes to have his filling to be his witness? Sometimes that's what it is. It wasn't meant to be a cafeteria. Yeah, I think I'll have some beans. No, I really don't want the asparagus. No, no. He wants you hungry. Hungry, hungry, hungry. Thirsty, thirsty, thirsty for the things of God. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes God wants to deal with some character stuff. God knows that if he grants an anointing beyond your character, it could cause your downfall and the downfall of everyone around you. Doesn't mean you're bad, it's just God wants to do some development of some stuff. And the last thing Ben will bring up is sometimes he needs to purify the motive. I shared with you that people prayed for me in November. When people prayed for me to be filled with the Spirit in November, I was there because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, that's what's supposed to happen, and so I'm going through all this, and nothing's happening. It wasn't until the retreat where I was filled with the Spirit that I really got it or understood it. Because it was that retreat where one of our youth leaders, and I've shared the story with you, but Dick Bennett, one of our youth leaders who was not very talkative, if he came up to you and shook your hand and said hello and goodbye, you just had a long conversation with Dick Bennett. He just was not a talkative person. Think Auntie Carla. So there's a difference there. Does it give you a word picture? There you go. So here's what happens, though. We do the youth service on this retreat. It's nice. Everyone's going, ooh, yeah, we love it. That's great. We get done, and we're downstairs. We're playing ping pong. Yeah. I played 40 games of ping pong that weekend. Just had a ball playing ping pong. Yeah. Actually, 41, because it was 21-20, the score. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. It's just one of those stupid things that sticks in my head. I had the 21. Anyhow, so here we are, though. I'm playing ping pong, and somebody comes running downstairs. And they Ray, what? You've got to see what happened to Dick. What? You just got to see what happened to Dick. So I went upstairs, and over near the fireplace in this chapel area is Dick Bennett with his hands raised. God, I bless you, and I thank you. And he is worshiping God. Our youth pastor comes up to us. Ken Weaver comes up to us. Ray, you've never been filled with the Spirit, have you? Want to? Because I understood for the first time what it was about. See, I got confused growing up. And if I could be quite honest here, sometimes I think the Assemblies of God messes you up. They confuse the baptism with the indwelling, and they get all this stuff intertwined and intermixed, and so they tell you, well, you got to be baptized in the Spirit to live a holy life. No, you don't. I don't mean to bust your bubble. You need to be saved and have the Spirit come in you to live a holy life. You need the empowering of the Spirit to be a bold witness and do service for the King. Now, can you still do witness and service for the King without that? Yes, but there's an empowering. Why would you not want it? I can make it to Albany in a tricycle, but it works a whole lot easier taking my car. Work with me on this one. So what I'm trying to get at, though, is I was all confused because they would tell you, get saved and get filled, and then boom, everything's going to happen. And they never taught me about reckoning myself dead indeed unto sin. They never taught me about the power of the Spirit to put to death that old man at the cross. They never went through all of that stuff. And I couldn't figure out how there were people that were not Pentecostal that lived holier lives than the Pentecostals. If this is supposed to make you holy, why isn't it making them holy? What's the deal? And so I said, you know what? For this season, I'm going to set aside everything I've been taught, and I'm going to go back to the Bible itself. I'm going to begin at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and I'm going to read every reference to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And I'm going to write them all down. And I'm going to see, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? And when I got done, I realized what it was talking about. And Ezekiel indwelling and a Joel 2 outpouring. And together is what it meant to be spirit full. And then it all fell into place for me and it made sense. But the first fruits of that were at that youth retreat when Dick Bennett was worshiping God with all of his mind, heart, soul, and strength and a freedom and a boldness that Dick never had. And I said, that is why I need it. I was filled with the Holy Spirit on my 15th birthday at 12:15 in the morning. What a birthday gift from the Father. A year later, it was my junior year in high school, and I started getting the nickname Reverend. By my senior year, I was speaking at the baccalaureate at our school, sharing the gospel with my classmates. 30 years later, I had a chance to do it again at our reunion. I said, you guys used to tease me about being the Rev. It turned out to be true. And I got to share the gospel. I used to go and share the gospel outside at carnivals, rock concerts. Something happens when the Spirit of God comes on you. And it was shortly thereafter that I was called into pastoral ministry. Now, are you saying, Pastor, if I get Pentecost gift of the Spirit, I'm automatically going to become a pastor? No, I'm not saying that. Some of you, okay, I just hit fear as a hindrance. What I'm saying is this, is that when you are experiencing the indwelling at salvation and the outpouring at the Pentecost gift, Spirit full allows you, wherever God calls you, to do His will, His work, His way for His glory. It's still not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So to my friend who asked the question, who said he could not be here today, who said he would listen on the internet, this was for you, bud. Of the hindrances that could happen. And that concludes the message part. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Is there a hunger for it? For a spirit fullness? We purposely, I believe, led by the Lord, did a different service because God's heart was just to take some time. Bill, what time is it? So what was that, about 30 minutes, sir? 30 minutes. It's only quarter of. It's not snowing out yet. The storm isn't here yet. I'm going to ask the Lord to hold off the storm until He brings the wind in here. I came today with anticipation that God was going to do something special in people's lives. I came with a faith and an expectation that people would begin to cry out for God to fill them, to overflowing with the Spirit. That God would work within your heart so you would want to be continually full of the Spirit. Under the influence of the Spirit and saturated with the Spirit. We're going to open the altars. If you want to come, that's great. If you want to kneel where you are, that's fine. If you just want to spend some time in worship, we've only got a few songs of actual formal songs, and then we're just going to see where God wants to go. But the songs will help prepare your heart. They're about hungry. It's about you're the air I breathe. It's about more love, more power, more of you, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in this place today. I thank you that you have every detail planned to the last piece. You want, as we finish up this year, to have a people that are hungry for more and more of the Spirit in their lives. Your Holy Spirit is not one that we are to fear, but to welcome. This is the essence of this Christian life, of the fullness promise, the gift of the Father, the promise, indwelling, outpouring, that you want for your people. So come, 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 Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit, to this place. Welcome, oh, breath of God.